We are so privileged to be together this morning in the presence of the God of heaven to honor him and glorify his name and study his word for a while and think about things that will bring us closer to him. I want to thank you for being here, especially if you happen to be visiting with us. We're always happy when we can come together as the people of God. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning, church attendance and how important it is to make that a priority in our lives as we grow together in our faith and honor the God that we serve. I remember in November of 1995, I was a pretty big NFL fan back then, not so much anymore. But I remember the announcement that the Cleveland Browns were not going to be in Cleveland anymore. The owner, Art Modell, announced that he was moving the franchise to Baltimore. Of course, they became the Baltimore Ravens. There were a lot of very, very faithful Cleveland Browns football fans. And the weeping and the gnashing of teeth was just incredible that the people of that city experienced at that time. Among the many quotes that you can find from the Cleveland Brown fans of that day, one fan lamented, "What am I going to do on Sunday? What am I going to do on Sunday?" You know, when you became a Christian, God gave you an answer to that question, to what you'd be doing on Sunday. And whenever the church assembles, for the rest of your life, attendance in the assemblies of the local church became a priority in your life. What is attendance? I heard Greg Chandler give a lesson a couple of years ago about giving lessons. One of the things that he mentioned was you should never start with the definition. So here's a definition, breaking Greg's number one rule. What does attendance mean? You think, well, we all know what attendance means, and we all know that what the Bible has to say about attendance, but I dare say that we may not. We may not have thought about the depth of meaning of a very simple word. So let's start with attendance meaning to be present at. To be present at an event, a meeting, or a function. That means your body in the place. Attendance is not something that's virtual. You don't really attend. You may say that you do a virtual meeting. You may be, you know, looking at a screen, but you're not really at a meeting. Attendance means having your body present there, wherever the there is. And since the COVID pandemic, when many churches went to virtual meetings at the time, and of course, putting their lessons live streamed so that anybody who has the internet anywhere could see what was going on, I think it's worked into the psyche of many Christians that's a sufficient way to worship. And as long as I have the live streaming, I really don't have to be present in the assemblies. I've said this before from this pulpit, but live streaming is a poor substitute for being present in the assemblies. There are a number of things that we'll even talk about in this lesson today, that you can't do sitting in your home just watching the live stream. Things that Christians need to be doing in an assembly that can't be done in that way. So while we appreciate the fact that we can get the teaching at home if we're sick or we're traveling somewhere and whatever it might be, that we can still see what's going on and hear the sermon being preached and the class taught, even hear the singing perhaps, we don't need to have the mistaken idea that that is the same as attending, because it's not. But another word, another meaning of the idea of attending is to give one's attention to. I want to spend a couple of minutes thinking about this with you. To give one attention to, one's attention to pay attention to attend to something. When you pray, I suspect that you want God to pay attention to your prayer. In fact, one of the ways the Bible puts that is found in Psalm 17 and verse 1, when the psalmist says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry." We want God to attend to our prayers. Now, there's a slightly nuanced meaning of the word attend there, isn't there? We want God to be present when we're praying to Him, to listen to that prayer, and to pay attention to that. If we don't listen to His law, He won't attend to our prayer. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." That's not what we want. We want His attendance. So keep those concepts of attendance in mind as we go through thinking and talking this morning from Scripture about why attendance in the assemblies of the church should be a priority. Attendance is an expression of devotion. Attendance is an expression of devotion to God, whether giving attendance to spiritual things or being in an attendance at an assembly where spiritual things are the focus. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, I want to read this out of the English Standard Version. The text there says that the early church, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, attending the temple. Well, what was going on in the temple? Well, that's where the early church was assembling for its worship. They apparently took over Solomon's porch for a while, right? But notice the word there. They were attending the temple day by day. That was characteristic of those first Christians. What does that tell you about them? Leading off the word attendance, as the ESV uses it there. It tells you that they were devoted, that they were excited, that they wanted to be together, that they wanted to worship God, that they wanted to learn more of the Word of God. Their attendance to those things and to coming together speaks to you, doesn't it, of the devotion of those people. They weren't kidding around. They were serious about being Christians. And they made coming together a priority. Attendance is readiness and diligence in performing one's duties as well. Again, we can see in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 42, that the people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were diligent in doing what they were supposed to be doing. The word that's translated attending in the ESV there in Acts 2 and verse 46 is used elsewhere in the New Testament. Not always translated exactly the same way, but looking at some other ways that it's used might help us in seeing what's being said about those Christians. So, for instance, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 9, Jesus told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready. For him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. So you remember Jesus is preaching around the Sea of Galilee, the crowds are getting big, and he needs to be able to get into a boat and maybe get off the shore a little bit and be able to preach, but also to escape when the crowds are just too much. And so this little boat is to be kept ready. That word that's translated kept ready there is the same word, the concept of being ready for service. Being ready for service because it was needed. In Romans chapter 13, you're aware that in Romans 13, Paul is telling us of the purpose of civil government and our need to respect it, particularly when it comes to how civil government protects good people from bad people. And we're glad they do that. And we're glad God has ordained them to do that. But Paul explains at the end of that context, he says in Romans 13 and verse 6, because of this, that is because of the work that our government does for us in protecting us, because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Notice the word attending there? That's the same word. They're attending to this duty that God has given them. Right now, as some of you may have noticed, our government is shut down. Maybe you haven't noticed because maybe your life hasn't changed very much just because the government is shut down. I did hear this last week sometime that our government, President Trump, ordered that the military will be paid. I'm not sure where the money is going to come from, but anyway, that's the order. The military would be paid so that they could do what Romans 13 says that they should do, attending to this very thing. You know what? If they weren't being paid, they might not be attending to that. We were to pay taxes so that they will attend to it. My point is that if the Russians would invade and our government is not attending to what it's supposed to be attending to, that could be a problem if we're not ready and focused on that. That same word is used of the consistency and priority of a Christian's prayer life as well. So in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, continuing steadfastly in prayer, that is attending to prayer. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, attending to prayer. So this level of devotion in the assemblies of the church and to attending those assemblies is what is really evident among the first Christians. If we go to Acts 11 and verse 26, a passage we studied not long ago in our classes, the text tells us about the church in Antioch, that it was for a whole year that they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Those first ones that were called Christians, who got the name, who were given the name, I believe, by the Lord, were devoted to assembling. They assembled for a whole year. I don't think that means they came together one time and didn't go home for a year, but regularly throughout the year, they were assembling. It characterized those who were called Christians. So that gives us some background, I think, to be able to talk about some more specific reasons, a few, that might answer the question, why make attendance a chief priority? This is, to be sure, not all of the these are not all of the reasons that could be given. I was mentioning to Sandy as I went back thinking about what I was going to say today. I preached a couple of times on attendance over the last couple of years. I went back and looked. It's actually twice, once last year and once the year before, which has been unusual for me at Eastside because for several years I didn't preach about attendance. And the reason for that is I was probably negligent, number one. Number two, didn't seem like we needed it because Eastside had been known ever since I'd known anything about Eastside and became very aware of it when I came here as a group of Christians that really attended services faithfully. And we're not doing as well as we used to do. Someone was just mentioning to me, and I'd noticed the same thing for years, that if you came to Eastside on a Sunday morning, came back on a Sunday night, that the Sunday night attendance would be within 10% or less would be gone from Sunday morning. And that was the way it was for years and years and years. And that's not the way it is anymore. And I don't know what explains that. And it may be some legitimate things that explain it. But I think we need to think about making attendance a priority, particularly in the time in which we're living, where because of the live streaming, the COVID years, all of that, people's attitudes just about attending church in general have changed. And I'm not sure that they're changing to conform to something that God wants them to be. So think about this with me. Why make attendance a chief priority? Well, first and foremost, it's a command. So we're wanting to do what God tells us to do. And I believe that Hebrews 10:25 plainly tells us that we need to assemble. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, verse 24 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, verse 25, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's not forsake assembling together. Now, some people may do that, but it doesn't need to be us. We're not going to do that. We're not going to neglect assembling, which is that what the concept there is. If a person does not do what God has commanded them to do, that's a sin. It's as simple as that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. It's not conforming to the law of God. Hebrews 10:25 is God's will for us, His law for us concerning assembling with the saints. Jesus came and died to take away our sins. Whoever abides in Him does not sin, 1 John 3 and verse 6 says. If we abide in Him, we'll be doing what He says. If we love Him, we'll be doing what He says. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Surely we understand that the New Testament was given by Christ through the Holy Spirit, His apostles and prophets. These are His commands. He's telling us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to make that an integral part of our lives, to be devoted as those first Christians were, to attend to spiritual things and be in attendance in assemblies where spiritual things are being done. Jesus expects us to put His kingdom first. And attendance is an indicator of our priorities. Jesus expects us to put Him over other important things in the world. Family duties or family concerns. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 21, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, before I follow You, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus told him, follow Me and let the dead bury their own dead. You think, well, a funeral, a burial, that's a really important thing to take care of in a family. It shows respect for, you know, your father, if your father is passed. And what's Jesus trying to say there? Is he saying don't honor your parents? Well, surely not. He's saying put Me first, though. Put Me first. He needs to be put first above our families, above our jobs, above material things in general. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These things will be added to you. The things of the world that you need, God will take care of that. Just put Him first. Put the learning of His word before menial tasks, perhaps, that you are responsible to take care of, but that are just not as important. I think about the time that Jesus was in the home of Mary and Martha, and Martha was cumbered about with much serving, one translation says. She was trying to do her housework and fix the food and all that sort of thing. And Mary's sitting there just listening to Jesus teach. And Martha, you remember, says, tell her to help me serve. And Jesus says, no. She's chosen the good part. She's made the choice that is proper for her priorities. She wants to focus on spiritual things. She wants to attend to spiritual things. That's what Jesus is in essence saying. But Jesus expects us to put Him first and His kingdom first. We sang a song, I love Thy kingdom, Lord. The church that our Savior bought with His blood. We love that above all else because He is the head of the church, as we've studied the last couple of weeks. When we're together in the church, when we're part of the church, we're part of Him. And these assemblies are things that help us understand that. So we need to make attendance a chief priority. It helps keep us strong spiritually. In fact, assemblies are made for edification, for building us up. When somebody's having problems with their spiritual strength, often what happens is they talk themselves into neglecting the assemblies. They say they're not coming because they're just not feeling very strong spiritually. Maybe you've been in that situation before as well. I'm just not strong right now, and so I'm not going. Well, when you're not strong is when you need to be coming. That's when you need it the most. It is for edification. It is for upbuilding. Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14 about their assemblies, he says, whenever you come together, this is 1 Corinthians 14:26, whenever you come together, each has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, revelation, interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Everything in the assembly of the church. The reason we come here is to be built up and to build up one another. Attendance builds us up. And we're commanded to build one another up. Jude verse 20. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. This is what an assembly can help accomplish. Assemblies help train our children in the Lord's ways. We have children and grandchildren all over this room this morning and in the Bible classes and the time that preceded this. And they are learning about God, being trained in the Lord's ways. Church attendance, if you track it, when the children grow up, the ones that keep on attending will be the ones whose parents were most faithful in their attendance when they were growing up. This has been studied many, many times from many, many different angles, really in various denominations, in the Lord's church as well, but for many, many years. I want to share just a few statistics on this that you might find interesting and you might find yourself if you look it up. But here are some typical statistical results of some of the studies. It's found that when both parents are regular churchgoers, about 33% of the children become regular churchgoers, and about 41% additionally attend at least some. So that's, 74% of children. When a father attends regularly, even if the mother does not, about 44% of children become regular attendees. And notice it's the father who's given the responsibility in Ephesians 6:4 of training up a children, raising a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One study found that if both parents are faithful and active in the church, 93% of their children will be faithful as adults. 93%. I don't know where Paul first met Timothy. I mean, I know the location, but I don't know the specific place, whether it was in Timothy's home, on the street, but I kind of suspect it might have been in a worship assembly. Or at least in a place where some of his family had come to hear preaching. Whether that's the case or not, here's what we do know about Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He's told by Paul to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had something to latch on to in his childhood because he'd been taught the Scriptures. And Paul told him, you stay faithful to that. You stick with that. We have children, as I said, in this room, who are being taught the Scriptures. And the more we come together and the more we bring them with us, the more we're consistent in attending Bible classes and worship assemblies, the more they'll learn, the closer they'll draw to Jesus Christ. At least the chances of that will be much, much greater. Why make attendance the chief priority? Well, others are counting on you. The church was purchased with the blood of Christ, as we studied recently, and it is a body with parts and members that rely on one another. Look in your Bibles with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where Paul said, of course, in verse 12, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one, so also is Christ. This is the body of Christ, many members, but one body. Pick up the reading with me now in verse 19, as Paul talks about the varying members of the body and how each one is important. He says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, that our unpresentable parts may have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members honor with it. Or rejoice with it, rather. You are the body of Christ, and members individually. For a church body to function properly, needs all of its parts. I mean, if you got up one day and, you know, your eye wasn't going with you, that'd be a problem. You tried to get up and go someplace and your right foot decided it wasn't going. That'd be a problem. The body needs all of its members. A believer individually will never reach full maturity without assistance and encouragement from other believers. We need one another to accomplish that. And a lot of that occurs in the assemblies of the church. Not all of it, certainly, but a lot of it does. Others are counting on you. The elders are responsible for you. The responsibility of elders is to watch over the souls of the blood-bought body of Christ, the church. In fact, in Acts 20 and verse 28, a passage we looked at last week, Paul tells the Ephesian elders, that's who he's talking to, when he says, take heed to yourselves, watch out for yourselves, and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Here is this valuable entity, the church of God, which has been purchased with the very blood of Christ, that precious blood, and the elders are given responsible to watch over it. The entirety of the flock that is among them. Elders will someday give account for their work. Such work, you know, is difficult enough when Christians assemble regularly and are in contact with one another. But can you imagine how complicated and difficult that is if members seldom or ever come? In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. So cooperate with the eldership. They're watching out for you. Cooperate with their watching out for you. And they can do that much more efficiently and effectively if you'll just be present in the assemblies. If you'll just be present, make yourself present when the church comes together. A shepherd knows his flock. Shepherd knows the sheep by name, according to what Jesus says in John chapter 10 in talking about the good shepherd. A shepherd counts his flock. People are counted because they count. There is currently going around. I don't know if it's some kind of fad or if this has been going around and I just haven't noticed it. But among some brethren, and there may be some here, that object to posting attendance numbers on a board in front of everybody. It's not a significant to me whether we post the numbers up there on the board or not. But if the objection to that is, well, we shouldn't be worried so much about numbers, yes, we should. Because every number represents a soul. People are counted because they count. We have in Scripture, over and over, over again, God's people being counted, Old Testament, New Testament. How do we know that there were 3,000 who obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 2? Because somebody counted. How do we know that the number came to be 5,000 in Acts chapter 4? Because somebody counted. Because people count. Every number is a soul that's being counted. When people are counted, present or absent, each number represents a soul. As a school teacher, one of the jobs I have every morning, of course, I only teach 1 hour a day, so it's not like I'm a real school teacher. One of the jobs I have every morning is to take roll, to see how many are there, who's there, and who isn't. Why is that? I have a responsibility for those children. Excuse me, for those young adults, juniors. I have a responsibility for them. The school has a responsibility for them. We need to know that they're there, that they're safe. We need to give a report on how they're learning. All of that's responsibility. Attendance is not all there is to faithfulness, but it is a barometer of a soul's well-being. The lack of attendance is a simple measurement that may indicate a physical problem or a spiritual one, or maybe both. The thing is, elders have responsibilities to the members of a church in both physical and spiritual areas. You might remember in James chapter 5 that if anybody was sick, they were supposed to do what? Call for the elders of the church. There's a responsibility there for the elders of the church to care about the physical well-being of members. And then also, especially the spiritual well-being. They have to give an account, as we saw in Hebrews 13:17. So if attendance is low, and the flock isn't assembling as it should, it might be an indicator that, like when the barometer is low, a storm might be brewing. There could be problems. Think of how much emphasis we place on attendance in certain areas of our lives, whether it's going to school or work or being on a sports team. How often do they take attendance? How often does somebody notice if you're there or not? How often would somebody encourage you to do better or to find out what's keeping you from being there when you should be in almost any realm of life? The level of commitment that we have to secular things certainly needs to be excelled when it comes to spiritual things. When we look over this past year alone, how have we been? How have we done individually? I'm asking each of you to examine yourselves as far as making it a priority to be present when the church comes together, including Bible classes. Have our children there. Is it a priority even more so than school or our jobs? Well, it should be. In which of these things are we the most faithful? Maybe we should ask it that way. And that brings, I think, me to this point where attendance is an element of faithfulness. As I mentioned a second ago, it's not all there is to faithfulness. I think it used to be thought of in that way, that if somebody attended, they were faithful. If somebody didn't attend, they were not faithful as a Christian. Well, that's not true. It's not true. Now, there are people who come and sit in assembly every single time and just be completely unfaithful in their hearts and be living the life of a hypocrite outside. And there are people who would just give everything they have to be here every time, and they can't, either because of physical or other kinds of problems, they can't be here all the time. We understand that. But when we think about being faithful in attendance, it is often an indicator of our faithfulness to the Lord. Someone wrote about faithfulness. You know, if your car started 1 out of 3 times, would it be a faithful car? You say, that's my faithful car right there. I don't think anybody would say that. If you didn't show up for work 2 out of 3 times in the week, would you be a faithful employee? If your refrigerator quit working for days on end, would you call it a faithful refrigerator? If your water heater went out for 4 or 5 days and you were taking cold showers, is it a faithful water? Well, no, nobody would say that. If you miss several mortgage payments, just, you know, ask your lender if you're faithful. It's only those who are found faithful that are going to inherit eternal life. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. In Matthew 25, Jesus assesses one of his servants in the parable, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. I'm trying this morning, and I appreciate your good attention. I'm about to finish, so. But I'm trying not to overstate my case. But I'm trying not to understate it, too. You say, well, Steve, are you saying that being present in the assembly, that's the end-all, be-all of Christianity? I hope you've understood I'm not saying that. Am I saying it could be a really good indicator of whether or not Christ is most important to you? I am saying that. And Christ needs to be most important to you. Why don't some make being present in the assemblies of the blood-bought church, why don't some make that a priority? I can't answer that question for everybody. But I do believe that the Scripture tells us that Satan is the father of lies, and he's a great tempter who leads believers astray. And Satan has worked diligently within the church to keep people away from the church. He has worked to put the lie into people's minds that it really doesn't matter if they faithfully attend. I think there may be some people who have excuses that they feel justify themselves for not faithfully attending, that Satan has put in their minds. They've convinced themselves that something they're doing is of equal value or greater value. I worked for some time, not very long, but I worked secular jobs before I began preaching. And had a couple of jobs where they wanted me to work on Sundays, Wednesday nights. I remember those times. Of course, I wasn't supporting a family then. And I could easily just say, well, I can get another job. What I did do was I would tell the manager who's scheduling me, I said, well, you can schedule me then, but I'm not going to be here then because I'm going to be at church. Or work out some arrangement to get somebody else to take the shift or whatever it might be. You can't always do that. But the point is, in my mind, church would come first. And that's really what we're asking, is church coming first? Because it is the blood body of Christ. It is the priority. Because it is where I come to be with my fellow saints and with Jesus. There are things that legitimately hinder: incapacitation, illness, any number of other issues. But this morning, let's honestly think about, is it a priority? Is being present a priority? And there might be one here this morning recognizes that in your life it hasn't been. You need to make that right. Maybe you could just resolve to do better. Maybe you need to come forward and ask for prayers of the church. And we'd be happy to pray with you and for you and encourage you in any way that you need. We're thankful that we can be together this morning. Let's commit ourselves to serving Christ in His kingdom the way He deserves to be served. Whatever your need is, we ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.